Thank you. All right. So the first question I have is really more tell us about yourself. You were discussing your history with us prior to the start of Facebook Live, and you had a huge revelation due to a health issue. Why don't you let the audience know about that?
Sure. So I've been a criminal defense attorney for the last 13 years, and about 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor and then had emergency brain surgery. Yet prior to that, I was struggling. I had been in a 5-day jury trial. My client was ultimately convicted and sentenced to prison, and my 18-month-old puppy died on the morning of closing arguments, and I called the judge and said, "Look, I need some time to get my thoughts together. I haven't written closing arguments. I've been fighting this for the 5 days we've been in trial, and I just need to get my thoughts together." And the judge basically said, "You have 30 minutes to get to court." And I was like, "Are you kidding me? I've had no sleep. You know what's going on." And so it was the first time in my life where I really went, "Oh my God, like, what am I going to do with my life?" Like, I had always known. I graduated from high school. I went to undergrad. I knew what I was going to get my degree in. I knew I wanted to go to law school. I knew I wanted to be a defense attorney. And so it was the first time I went, where am I going with my life and what is going to bring me happiness? And I really struggled for a couple of years. And during that time frame, I was getting sicker and sicker. I took some time off. I spent the summer with my nephew. I played. And when I got to the end of the summer and I went, "Oh my God, I have to go back to work," I went, "I don't know if I can do this anymore." Like, the kill for me was no longer fun. I wouldn't do it for free. And then after I was diagnosed with the brain tumor, I said, like, no kidding, I got to get off the hamster wheel. Like, this is physically killing me. The stress is not conducive to my life. And so after I was diagnosed with the brain tumor and I found out that I was okay, I decided that I was going to take my love for helping people and fighting for the underdog and seeking solutions and figuring things out and combine that with my passion with horses. And so I sought out different programs and I finally found the program that fit well for me. And that was Touched by a Horse. And I got certified through Melissa Pierce's Touched by a Horse program and I became a equine gestalt coach. Did we lose you, Richard?
Yes, so Andrea, sorry, I have slow internet. So then let's move on to the next question. What is an equine gestalt coach? What do they do?
Sure. So gestalt is a German word that means wholeness. And the gestalt technique is used by therapists. However, I am not a therapist, and you don't have to be a therapist to be trained in the gestalt work. And so it's a technique that I use with my clients to work through a process to get them to wholeness. So we may work on one piece. So, as for an example, somebody maybe comes to me and they call me because they're fighting with their significant other. Yet when they sit down in the chair with me, we work on what's actually coming up in the moment. So I get them back in their body and we work through that process and we find out what really needs to be worked on in the moment. And let's just say, for example, what comes up is that they were sexually molested as a child. And so depending on what type of work they've done before they've come to see me will determine at what level of gestalt work I will do with them. So somebody may have not done any therapy work and have not really worked through the issue at all. And so we'll do a what I call a low-level gestalt piece. And that may just be having a conversation with a person that they never even told that they were molested, which may be a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, and start with that piece. Somebody who may have done more work, we may do a deeper level of the gestalt work, and it may be an anger piece. They may need to work out the anger and the frustration that they've had bottled up. And not only that, it's not just one piece. However, when they come and work with me, a session's an hour and a half long. And so we may work with several different things in that hour and a half. Yet whatever we work on, we complete the circle and they come to wholeness. And that's the difference between a talk therapy session where you sit on a chair and tell somebody what's going on for an hour, and then you leave. Where with me, we talk through it, and the horse is also doing work with the client while they're doing work with me, and we bring them to wholeness. So that piece is healed and complete when they're done working with me. They don't have to open that wound up again because it's done. It will be closed. Now, they will still potentially have to do other work around the main piece because the work is never finished. And my firm belief is that as long as you're here on this earth, we all have work to do at some level. It's just a matter of peeling the onion back a layer at a time.
It's a concept, I would guess, where the client that you're speaking with has the control to really let things out. And if not, you have the option of drawing them out through a set of maybe statements or things like that.
Absolutely. And I am of the firm belief that I don't hold the answers. Even though somebody may be sitting across from me and I think I know the answer, I don't hold the answer. My job is to hold the mirror up so that they can see the reflection and discover that answer within themselves.
It seems there is a similarity between what you're doing now and in jury trials, where there's a discovery period.
Absolutely, yeah. So I'm very good at reading people, and I'm very intuitive. Hence why I've been successful as a trial lawyer for 13 years in picking juries. So that helps definitely, as well as it's a process of getting people to open up to you, just like picking a jury is, right? A lot of times people aren't comfortable talking in public. That's not their thing. Obviously it's mine, hence being a trial attorney. So it's creating that rapport with somebody and getting them to open up and being comfortable and being vulnerable and sharing with you their truths, and then saying, okay, I love that you just shared with me that, and you're off my jury. So it's the same concept when I have somebody sitting in my chair. They don't know me. They're attempting to share with me some of their deepest, darkest secrets and to get them to that safe and vulnerable place. And the horse helps them do that. The horse is just healing in nature, just being in the presence of the horse. They just have that energetic feel about them. And that's so what is so attractive about what I do and intriguing for people. And when they hear that the horse is involved, that's what's really the pretty bow on the piece of work that's done, is they get to go in the round pen with the horse, and the horse finishes off the piece of work with the client.
That was the question I was going to follow up with, is because it is equine, there had seemed to be a part where a horse is involved, and it wasn't just you're asking the horse what's going on, you're asking your clients what's going on. It's very similar, I would think, to what is done with kids or adults with autism, where they, for some reason, the horse draws them out. And what have you discovered in your practice that the horse is really a main component of this all?
Absolutely. So the whole time I'm working with a client, the horse is in the round pen, and I am watching the horse because the horse is also feeding me energy. So the horse doesn't understand words, right? So if the client says, I have on a pink shirt and the shirt's not pink, the horse doesn't understand that the shirt's not pink. What the horse understands is energy. And the reason they understand that so well is because they have 4 feet that are on the earth, that are connected to Mother Earth. So energetically, they are so grounded and centered and don't have an ego. So they don't pay attention that you fed them 10 minutes late. They don't care that you were late for dinner yesterday. They're so in the moment. And so energetically, a horse is attracted to what comes out of your mouth that's congruent. So if you say you have a pink shirt on and that's your truth, the horse will join up with you and be attracted to that. if what you say is not your truth, the horse will be repelled by that and won't be attracted to you and therefore won't join up with you. So a lot of times the horse is coming up to the round pen area where I have the client and potentially feeding me information while the client is outside of the round pen. However, it's definitely going on when the client is in the round pen with the horse. So let me give you an example. So here's a situation where we're working with a family. The family has come because the minor child is in therapy for drugs. And so the family has come to work on aspects that they need to work on before they go and see the child who's in therapy. They leave for lunch, they come back from lunch, and we put the oldest son in the round pen with the horse. The horse immediately walks up to the young man, hits him in the chest with his nose, and walks over to the side of the round pen and starts cribbing. And in the horse world, what we mean by cribbing is typically horses that crib have some sort of an addiction. So he's chewing on something, right? They either have an addiction or they're bored and they need a job. So the minute the horse starts doing this, I start running through my head going, okay, do I have something health-wise wrong with my horse? Is there vitamins, nutrients, something that's missing? So I immediately connect with my horse and I'm like, okay, I see what's going on. However, I'm not understanding what you're attempting to show me. He goes back to the kid, takes his nose and punches the kid in the chest with his nose, walks back over to the round pen and starts chewing on the metal. And I'm like, something's going on. He's wanting to show me something. I'm still not understanding. So I tell the horse again, I'm still not getting what you're showing me. So he goes back and does this a third time. And I finally say, did you go get high during lunch? And the kid immediately breaks down and says, you know, I'm the reason my kid brother's in treatment. I'm the one who got him high for the first time. Well, his parents had no idea what was going on. He was the golden child. The kid that was the problem was the one that was in treatment. And in reality, this young man was holding on to this because he knew that he wasn't the golden child. He was the one that got his little brother high for the first time. And so the horse showed me what he couldn't tell me. And so it's things like that that the horse has the ability to do. And all of the horses are just like human beings. They have special traits and characteristics and different attributes that work well with certain people. All of the horses are either introverts or extroverts. Some of them are great chakra workers. Some of them are great pantomimers. Some of them are great lie detectors. So it just really depends. And I have horses that I work with for certain types of people and things of that nature. I just intuitively know what horse I need to pull for that client.
How many horses do you have?
So we have 7 on our property and we have 2 babies on the way. I typically don't put a client in the round pen with a horse that is under the age of 5. Now they may be a good worker and I have a phenomenal horse that's 3 years old that is a great chakra worker. However, energetically, she is not old enough to be in a round pen with a client by herself. So I only allow the client to be on the outside of the round pen. After they're 5 years old, they're able to contain their energy and not get riled up and freak out by the client. So I have a few horses that we use. I also work out of a horse rescue. So I use several horses there as well.
It seems very similar to how horses react when a potential rider is nervous. They will feel, they're empathic. They will feel that that rider is nervous, whereas somebody who's just, let's just get on, I'm ready to go, they will adhere or abide and say, yep, this is my connection, we're ready to go.
Yes, and the reason that is because when you sit on the top of a horse, your root chakra, which is your base for security, right, is connected to the horse's will and determination. And your will and determination is your gut, right? So your gut tells you what is going on. Like, should I be scared? Should I not be? So when your root chakra is unsafe and you're sitting on the back of a horse and connected with their will and determination, they're immediately feeling if you're safe and secure. If you are not safe and secure, their will and determination is going, I need to get out of here. Like, what is going on? They can feel that energy. And again, they're connected to energy. So when you're off, they're off.
Mm-hmm. Who are the people you want to reach in your business?
Sure. I can work with anybody. My excitement, or what my juiciness is to work with adults and specifically professionals who are at that crossroads like I was. Do I stay? And if I stay, how do I create balance in my life? So we got a bus, it's got four wheels, and I can guarantee that the air in all four of those tires is not equally filled. If they're really successful in their practice, whether they're a doctor, a lawyer, or any other sort of professional career that they have, I can guarantee that the air in the other tires of their personal life, their spiritual life, as well as their physical life are not equally filled. And so my goal is to get all of those air, or excuse me, to get the air in all of those tires as equally balanced as we can. And if they decide that the career that they're in right now, like I was, is not where they want to be for the rest of their life, how can we find what makes their heart sing again? And to get them to that place where they would do it for free and they're not at a job where they're just over broke and going through the grind every single day. The other is definitely with the couples. I can work with kids. It's not, like I said,
one thing to ask other business people in a show I do.
I'm sorry, Rich, you were cutting out.
Yeah, sorry about that. One of the questions I ask on another show I host is, how have you unfrustrated yourself from the challenges that you face and on a regular basis as your business grows?
Can you clarify for me what you mean by the frustrations?
How do you unfrustrate yourself from the challenges? Because you run into blocks. I mean, is there an example that you can provide of a situation that you kind of kept coming up with and you found a solution to it to unfrustrate yourself so you could move forward?
Yeah, and that happens quite frequently, actually, because I'm in the process of leaving a business that I've known for 13 years into another area. And as a criminal defense lawyer, people need you, right? Like, they have a choice. Do I go to jail or do I hire a lawyer? Where this is the type of business where people don't really know that they need you. I know that they need me, yet they still don't really know that they need me. So it's getting people to come out and actually have an experience. It's like telling somebody what chocolate tastes like, right? Like, you can tell them all you want. However, until they experience it, they really don't know what chocolate tastes like. So my goal is to get people to come out and experience the horse. And for me, how I'm able to do that is for me just to get away. When I am with my horses, my whole world disappears. I instantly get grounded. I drop back into my body. My breathing pattern changes. My voice changes. And so every chance I get, I know when I'm getting too stressed out that if I can just go back out and be with the horses, even if I'm just grooming them or hanging out in a chair, filling water, whatever it is, it drops me back into my body and takes me out of my head, and I can get grounded and centered again.
I want you to promote yourself before we end this Facebook Live session,
sure.
But I did have a question for you, if you could put on your attorney hat.
Okay.
And I'm sure, and I think you might have talked about this before we started. What, your opinion on what is going on currently with all of the revelations of sexual harassment across the board? I'm sure the answer is, yeah, it's finally time. But do you see this as the switch has been flipped and now we are going to see a huge shift in the way things are going to go on now?
Okay, so I want to remind you, I'm a defense attorney. I keep people out of jail. I'm not a prosecutor. So What I tell my clients is, and I've written a book called Sex and Justice, and the reason I did is because the pendulum has swung so far. We went from a time where people didn't talk about it, it was kept in the dark. If it was mentioned, it was only mentioned to the family, and you left it there, right? We've now swung to the other side of the pendulum where it is very easy to make an allegation. And what I tell a lot of my clients is, you are not innocent until proven guilty. You are guilty until proven innocent. And I commend the women that really have been sexually assaulted, that feel like they have a voice and now feel like they can come forward. And obviously you're seeing that with, you know, Mr. Cosby and now whoever this movie guy is that's coming out. So there's all of these things that are coming out, yet I deal in the real world, and there is so many times where it's easy for a woman to make an accusation. You know, she has a boyfriend and she went out and got drunk with her girlfriends and slept with a guy, and then she has buyer's remorse in the morning when the boyfriend says, hey, I couldn't get a hold of you, and she says, yeah, I was raped last night, or, you know, I woke up because we had too much to drink and I don't remember, and so you must have taken advantage of me. Or, you know, some guy has a few drinks in the bar and smacks some girl on the ass as she walks by, and now he's charged with sex assault. Or somebody's peeing outside the bar or on the golf course and they're charged with indecent exposure and going to register as a sex offender. We have kids that are sexting and sending naked pictures of themselves and going to register as a sex offender for the rest of their life at 14 years old. The law is not there to protect what it used to protect. And like I said, the pendulum has swung so far that we have to get back to the middle ground. It's too easy for women or men, not that a lot of men come forward, however, too easy for a woman to say she's been sexually assaulted. And when your semen's in her vagina, how do you say you didn't do it?
First, I won't pee in the golf course anymore. Second, why don't you go ahead and promote yourself? Let people know how they can reach you, both through the internet and personally.
Sure. So they can call me. My phone number is 970-682-4405. I give 30-minute consultations that are free. I'm happy to talk to you about that. I can be reached at my website or on Facebook. It's Withers, W-I-T-H-E-R-S, Whisper, W-H-I-S-P-E-R.com. And I'm on Twitter and LinkedIn and Pinterest and all those fun things. However, I am looking for 10 coaching clients at the moment, and because I like to reward people that take action, I'm willing to give a discount. And a coaching package with me is 90 days. It includes 1 hour of coaching a week for the 90 days. They can set anywhere from 1 to 4 goals, whether that be personal or professional or a combination. And then they will get 2 sessions with me and the horses, whether that's at the beginning, the middle, the end, 2 times in 1 month, whatever they choose. That package is normally $3,750, and if someone signs up within the next 24 hours of hearing this, I'm willing to give them a rate of $3,375. Additionally, I'm going to give them $150 off of any one of our weekend events that we're having. My 2018 calendar will be out by the end of December. We're having events here, some in New York, and potentially one in Oregon. And if somebody refers, somebody that is on here is maybe not interested or has a friend that's a professional or a lawyer or a couple that would like to do something with me, if you, Rich, send me somebody, I will give you $150 off any one of our weekend events as well.
That's going
right.
to end.
Well, we're going to...
That's going to end our Facebook Live session. And before we go, I do want to remind everybody that if you want to be in the show live, because we're going to spend about another 15 minutes with the group here in the room, the virtual room, networking and talking and letting each other know how we can support each other. If you'd like to be involved in the live sessions, all you have to do is go to conscious business connection.com. And there's a link there that says online live. And if you click that and scroll down to the middle of the page, you'll find a place where you can register. We only have room for 20 people in the room. So it is important for you to register early, and you'll be able to find that information online tomorrow about the show next week. So we wanted to let you know that that's available. We really appreciate you joining us on Facebook Live, whether you were here live or whether you're listening to the recording. And we'll see you next time. And until then, make it fun and profitable, and good selling to you. Okay, we're off Facebook Live, y'all.
So, I was going to ask a question here. Are we having a show next week because it's Thanksgiving?
Actually, no, we aren't.
I will make sure to take that portion out.
Yeah. Okay, good deal. That's a really neat deal. Wouldn't it be cool if we could just all edit our lives that way? I really screwed up yesterday. I'm just going to edit yesterday out. It no longer exists. Yes. That's great. I guess only God can do that for us. So.
And I apologize because my internet is just really just not doing well. I'll take this part out of the podcast too. Andrea, this turns into a podcast that airs tomorrow at 11 a.m. And you said 24 hours. So will you extend that as well for the 24 hours of the pod after the podcast airs as well?
Yep, that's fine.
Okay, great. Just wanted to make sure that I put that on there. Yep. Does anybody else on the – Andrea, first, thank you so much. It was really fantastic information. And
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and you were just right there on the seat of the pants questioning, so very good. And does anybody else on the panel have any questions or would like a bit of coaching from Andrea at this point, although she cannot bring a horse into her dining room right now?
Oh, why not?
Although it would be interesting. the horse would probably go, where am I?
That's right.
Does Dana or anybody else have any question for Andrea?
Well, Rich, that brings what you just said brings up a thought that I had and wanted to share. And Andrea, that was great stuff. Really appreciate your presentation today. And you tell me if I'm wrong about this. You mentioned the connection between the person that you're working with and the horse, and that the horse can intuitively feel the energy and what's going on. What I've experienced in coaching salespeople is that it's the same way whenever we sit down to have a sales conversation with someone. There's an energy that passes between the salesperson and the prospect. And if the salesperson is uncertain, unsure, nervous, fearful, don't know what they're talking about, don't know what to say, the person that they're talking with, their prospect, feels that and mirrors back to them just exactly what that person's putting out. What we put out to other people is exactly what we get back. It's a mirror type situation. What are your thoughts about that?
I absolutely agree with that, especially if the person that's on the other side is really paying attention and is listening and is in the moment. If they're in their head and they're already thinking about the next thing, like they've squeezed you in, or they're really not interested in whatever it is that you got the sales pitch on, they're probably not energetically paying attention to what's going on. And that's something I definitely notice in couples work. Most of the time, the couple has lost contact with each other, and that is the biggest reason why their relationship has started to demise. Like, when was the last time they actually looked in each other's eyes and really had a heartfelt conversation and listened to each other? And when I say listening, I mean listening like you didn't have to respond. Not listening like, okay, I'm going to have a counter argument to that, and yeah, but, or you're wrong, or I agree with you. And so just like being there in the moment. And yeah, sales is similar to that. You know, if you're not grounded and centered and sure on what it is and believe that you have value to offer that the person that you're sitting in front of, that's going to come across to them. Absolutely.
I call that listening with your ears, your mind, and your heart.
That's right.
And I suspect that you probably learned all that from juries.
It's taken time, and I think it's easier for defense attorneys to listen because we have to cross-examine. And so I am always listening for that golden nugget where the district attorney is so good at direct examination, just letting their client talk or their witness talk. I have to hear what's going on because I have to catch the softball that was just thrown by that witness that the district attorney probably doesn't care about, right? So I really have to listen to what the witness is saying, how they're responding, how they're sitting, if they're communicating with the jury, you know, all of that stuff. So, yeah.
Andrea, a question about, you mentioned about in people being in their head. When you have a client who's in their head and not knowing their true self, and then you go out to the circle, do the horses react to that?
Yes.
Is there more of a sense of caution when they sense that as opposed to welcoming?
The horse won't respond. As long as you're in your head, the horse won't respond to you. And so I do everything that I can to get my client back in their body. And typically when you ground somebody, like if you go to yoga or meditation, they ground from your crown chakra down, right? Where when I have somebody in the arena, I ground them from the root chakra or Mother Earth up. And the reason that is because the horse is connected to Mother Earth automatically. And so I bring the client from the ground up to get them centered and back in their body, which, like I said, is completely different than if you go to yoga or meditation where they bring you from your crown down. Right. So it's a matter of getting them back in their body and getting that feeling.
And would that be the case even if they were just, you know, the soothing, petting, not petting, but, you know, rubbing the horse down or rubbing their nose, they would just be like, the horse would be like, nothing.
Yeah, so if I have a client that's in their head, the horse won't even come near them. And I can tell instantaneously. So when the horse joins up with them, they're not in their head. They're in their body and they're speaking their truth. If they're in their head or their head bubble, whatever you want to call it, the horse is out looking out at the pasture, figuring out else what's going on, playing in the round pen, doing whatever. It's totally ignoring the client. No contact. Mm-hmm.
For our other two panelists, do you guys have questions? They're silent right now. They don't have.
I think it's all very interesting how animals definitely connect. I'm so allergic to horses. I just think about a horse and I can't breathe. So, right now I'm having a little problem. but I certainly know that animals are so incredibly intuitive with people. So I think it's interesting. Very, very fascinating.
Thank you.
Yeah, great information. So I won't be coming to you for your help.
A neti pot. Get a neti pot.
one less client for you. If nobody else has any questions or comments, Hugh, we might want to wrap this up then.
Okay. I just wanted to say to Mama Bernie, we're so glad that you were on the call. I wish we could have heard you and asked you some questions and had you interact, but it was nice to have your presence here, even if we couldn't hear you. And Rich, if you would like to stay on for just a second, I didn't get my recording on until right after your introduction. So just for sound quality purposes, maybe you could do the introduction for me again right before you and I sign off.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll stay on.
Okay. And other than that, hey, I love y'all this much. The people that are on this call are just the most fantastic people in the world, and it's a pleasure and an honor to be here with you. And until next time, make it fun and profitable, y'all, and good selling and have fun.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Have Bye-bye. A great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. So the intro of welcome everybody, that's what we want?
No, the one with the intro to Bernie. Not Bernie, the intro to Andrea.
Okay.
And that is in chat. If you want to read it.
Actually, if you give me a second, hold on. Because now that just as you ended, that's when the computer came back up.
Of course.
So, here we go. All right. So give me a few minutes. And while that's coming up, this is a good time. I can follow up with you about Chalk Talk.
Okay.
Why don't we go ahead and start it at the beginning of December? So let's call it December 1st.
Okay.
And when does it air on your other networks?
It airs when I get it edited and put it out.
Okay. All right. So I will put it in. So right now the schedule is on Fridays. It's Unfrustrated Entrepreneur, Conscious Biz Hot Seat, the Daily Author. So I could probably put it around 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock that day. 1 o'clock would probably be better because then it's it's 3 o'clock Eastern.
Okay.
All right. And
since I record on Mondays, I could conceivably do a 3 o'clock Friday launch on a consistent basis of the show on the other.
Yeah, that would be great because I don't have to do anything other than add, this is the Wind Pants Network at the very end of it and just patch put it in at that point. It's okay. Going to be all done. So I'll make sure we get that done and promote it. And I'll make sure that it is, that I do the promotion on social media, make sure it carries over to the Conscious Business Connection page. And that will generate more. Plus I'll put it on the Promote Your Podcast page. And the good thing is with the Maturity podcast, it seems that now everybody else is coming in to, they're listening to the other podcasts as well. Mm-hmm. So we're getting some great, great stuff. In fact, I think what it was Tuesday or something, we had like 500 downloads in a day. So we're getting some really good numbers.
Well, we've been talking on the show about the fact that we're very shortly going to be on Blog Talk Radio, and I would be more than happy to talk about the Wooden Pants Network and the other things that are on there. In fact, I could do a promo for you in the middle of the show.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, because we now have on a regular basis, we have what, 1, 2.5, like 6 to 7 hours, maybe a little more of original content each week. So cool. It's filling up. It really is.
That's great.
All right, let me pull up the chat, and I think we can do it while you say record. You can hear me now, right?
Yep, and we are recording now even, so.
Yeah, let me do that. There we go. So let me know when you're ready.
Anytime.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Conscious Biz Hot Seat. I am your host, Amanda Fuel. Actually, sorry, I am your host, Rich Keller. Amanda is on a plane right now, heading back to Northern Colorado after a conference. So I will be doing today's interview, and that will be with Andrea Hall. And I'm going to read some information to you about Andrea. Andrea is a certified equine gestalt coach who owns and operates Withers Whisper LLC. She received her certification through Melissa Pierce's program, Touched by a Horse. She currently owns and operates the Hall Law Office for the past 13 years, which specializes in sex offenses and domestic violence. She has been involved with several high-profile cases like the UNC football player accused of stabbing his teammate, Father Tim, who was accused of sexually assaulting a parishioner at Fort Collins Catholic Church, and the famous chess master, Robert Snyder. She is the author of a book called Sex and Justice. Today, we're going to talk to her about equine gestalt, gestalt. It's not just, you know, therapy for horses, it's therapy for humans with connection to horses. There we go.